The Lord is so good. He is awesome.
Yes, he is.
There is none like him. And there will never be. There is no other God. See, if God used his mouth to say that there is no other God, you better know that there is no other God. It's not another one. The ones that they call gods are no gods. They are just idols or demons. Not only are demons not gods, they are much lesser than human beings. Way, 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 way below. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When I was in Ghana, I interacted with a fetish priest. He was the chief of the Evers in Cape Coast and surrounding places. He was the chief of all of them. And a fetish priest. And I just felt led by the Spirit to go to that village. I was very new in Ghana. I was just driving by, saw this village very close to the university. And I stopped. And I went to one young man. I said, take me to the chief. And he took me to the chief. And we became friends from that day. I eventually led him to Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. I started to witness to him. He had his idols in one room, by his living room there. He showed one to me. He said that one had not been consecrated. You see, you consecrate in the kingdom of darkness too. You sanctify in the kingdom of darkness too. Sanctification is not necessarily unto the Lord. You can sanctify anything unto anything. I hope you follow my point. Sanctification simply means that you are separating something for a purpose. So, if you are sanctified unto the Lord, you are sanctified unto the Lord. But things may be sanctified unto the devil. Separated unto the devil. This one belongs to Lucifer. Do you understand my point? Okay. So, that one is sanctified unto the devil. So, he brought one image, one idol out. He said, this one has not been consecrated yet. He said, they just made this one for, they made the God for him. See, they just made it for me. It has not been consecrated yet. This is my mother. They said, if I'm, said, this is your mother? Praise the Lord. I make him laugh, just like you are laughing. You see, it doesn't occur to them that they're being foolish, stupid, until you talk to them from the Spirit of God. He said, that is my mother. I said, this is your mother? Then he burst into laughter. Because it occurs to him that what he was saying wasn't really making any sense. Hallelujah. And then I said to him, you see these idols? They're not gods. You just said it with your mouth. They were made by men. If you can make your God, you are the God. Whatever you can make, you are God over it. It's not a God over you. Then he burst into laughter again. See, your God cannot be something that you made. It has to be the thing that made you, or the one who made you. And it made a lot of sense to him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then one day I said to him, if you say that your gods are gods, they are in that room, tell them to fight. I said, I'm sitting here and I'm telling you that they are no gods. So tell them to get angry at me and fight. Then he burst into laughter again. And he said, you can only say that because you have been a Christian for a long time. Now, it means that in the kingdom of darkness, they know that some people go to church, but they have not used the power that God gave to them. They know that. I couldn't talk to him directly because he didn't speak English and I didn't speak Arabic. So I had to use a translator. A lot of times his son would translate for me. I had a young Ghanaian guy, a Fanti guy, who translates for me to most of the local people, but he didn't speak Arabic either. So I came back a couple of days after that. I went there frequently. I came back a couple of days later. And he said, okay, you too, if you say that your Jesus is God, pray for me so that I can walk my legs. Now, I had always met him sitting down. Do you follow my point? I didn't know that anything was wrong with his legs, because each time I went there, he was sitting anyway in his living room. And I said, fine, now I'll pray for you. And if you get up and you walk, then you are going to accept Jesus? He said, yes. At first, he talked to his two sons. Then he said, yes. I said, fine. So I got up and I laid my hands on his thighs and I prayed and I said, get up and walk. Then he got up. Then he walked. Then he walked. He went up and down, up and down. Then he said, yeah. Then I said, now you want to give your life to Jesus? Then he said, yes. So I led him to Christ that day. Then I said, now we have to destroy the idols. Because when you divorce a woman, you don't continue to sleep with her on the same bed. Then he burst into laughter, just like you are laughing. Praise the Lord. I said, if you continue to sleep with her on the same bed, you will do it again. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then he said, fine. He said, but don't carry them in the daytime. Come and carry them at night. I said, oh, fine. Yeah, I'll come and carry them at night. You remember Gideon? Yeah. You see, there is wisdom in some things. Yeah. Do you follow me? Yeah. Yeah, he's the chief there. At now he didn't want everybody to see what was going on. And I said to him, what if they say you won't be their chief again? Because the Elvis, Sister Mary can tell you, they are idol worshippers. Even when they go to church, the idol is number one at home. Mm-hmm. Most of the Elvis, that's what they are. I said, if they say you won't be their chief again, oh, he said they can come for their thing. Let them come and take their chieftaincy. Say, I don't care. You follow my point? I said, praise the Lord. By the time that I came to destroy the idols, the son had told me, hey, you won't be able to destroy the idols because there is trouble in the family. So you won't be able to destroy the idols now. I said, what's the trouble? Then he said, I should come and talk to his father. Then I went. Then the man said, please, don't destroy the idols yet. There is trouble in the family. His wife and his first daughter heard that he had given his life to Christ. And they told him he's not getting out. And I said, why? And the chief explained, said, see, in the family, like I told you, the idol, generation to generation, idol worshippers. There was a time they had some problems in the family. Then one fetish priest told them that every male in the family must consecrate their first daughter to the god of thunder. And the first daughter happened to be the daughter of this woman who says he's not getting out. And the daughter, I knew the daughter, that first daughter. I knew her very well. I knew the whole family. So when he gave his life to Christ and wanted to destroy the idols, he said, you gave her to the god of thunder, you are not getting out. That was the thing. Do you see? Then I said, Then the man said, you see, now they don't know what I have known. They don't understand what I have understood. Please let us just wait. Then I said, fine. Let us wait. I tried to talk to that first daughter. One evening, she was standing with her younger sister, and I was with their brother who interprets for me. And we were coming. And I said, oh, here is your sister. I want to talk to her. So I went towards her. And as I came towards her, she got up and walked away. Said, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. So I greeted the younger lady, and I left. And then the young man who was interpreting for me said, do you know why she walked away? I said, well, she doesn't want to talk to me. He said, as we were coming, the younger sister told her, don't insult that man of God. If you know you're going to insult him, just don't talk to him at all. So rather than begin to insult me, she walked away. Or give Jesus a clap offering anyway. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. I hope that the man is still alive. I long to go to Ghana. I have told my friends in Ghana that when I get to Nigeria this time, I will come. But they pray for me that God will make it possible for me. Amen. I want to go. There are lots of things I want to see till at Ghana. I have many prayer partners there. They're wonderful Christians. We have been in touch. I couldn't believe when Mrs. Quartin got in touch with my mother in America trying to reach me. Where is Dr. Okadawi? Is this man gone? You follow my point. Glory to Jesus. It's not because my name is Emmanuel Okella. It is Christ that makes all the difference. And she called my number early in the morning. And it was a lot of joy, you know, to talk to each other. And since then, we have been in touch by email. Glory to God. See, that is what Jesus does in your life. Wherever you go, you are not going there to be just yourself. You are going to be an ambassador of Christ. And let people must see Jesus in you. They must really see Jesus in you. I have told God, any place that I will go where I cannot make an impact, and there is no place unless you don't want to. You follow my point. Please don't send me there. That's what I said to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Give Jesus a clap offering again. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord is so beautiful.
Hallelujah.
Ah, it's a beautiful day. It's another day to hear from God. And we're going to be talking on how to hear from God. How to hear from God. It's a very important topic to deal with. It is so important for me to hear from God. And we're going to do it very interactively. Interactively means that I want to get plenty of feedback from you. I'm going to be teaching like a teacher. And you are going to be responding like students. Praise the Lord. You're going to be responding like students. And I pray the Lord, that none of us will ever be the same again.
Yeah.
In a lot of our decision making, I pray that we will acknowledge the Lord. We will say to God, you don't tell me, I don't move. Do you follow my point? You don't tell me, I don't move. Because I need you. I need your counsel. I need the counsel of your spirit. And without your counsel, I am confused. Believe me, when you don't know what God wants, you are confused. You are confused. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Let us pray. Most righteous Father, we bless your holy name, Lord. Father, we glorify you. Father, you are good. And your mercy endures forever. You are beautiful. There is none like you. Our Father, our God. Thank you because you are the living God. The only living God. And by this we know that you see, you hear, you talk, you move, you have power. You can do all things. The idols are no gods. They have eyes they cannot see. They have ears they cannot hear. There is a mouth that cannot speak. There is no voice in them. They have legs they cannot move. They must be carried by those who call them gods from place to place. They can help no one. They cannot be helped. Father, glory to your name.
Hallelujah.
Accept our thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we discuss now on how to hear from God. The reason that we want to hear from you is because you are a father. A father talks to his children and he expects the children to hear and to be obedient.
Yes.
So Father, as we discuss these things, we trust that your Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ in all that you will say to us.
Amen.
We don't want to be the same anymore.
Yes.
We want to interact with your Holy Spirit freely.
Yes,
as the spirit of our Father. Father, let it be so in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Another clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. My first question is, who can hear God? Who can hear God? A child of God can hear God. Who can hear you? Anybody can hear you. Anybody can hear God. Anybody that God would have hear him can hear him. Anybody who also sincerely seeks to hear from the Lord and deserves to hear can hear God. And I will explain myself as we go along. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if we say that anybody can hear God, do we have scriptural support for that? First, we said that a child of God can hear God. Can you tell me some of God's children in the Bible who have heard God? I'm not talking about hearing God by reading the word of God. We will touch on that one because it's a way to hear from God.
David,
Samuel,
Joshua,
Moses,
Joshua,
Gideon,
Abraham,
Isaac,
Jacob,
Joseph, and so on and so forth. Plenty, plenty, plenty. A lot of them. God speaks to his children. You see, the reason that many of us don't specifically hear God is because we're not curious enough about hearing God. When I am reading the Bible and I see God talking to people, I always ponder, how come we are not hearing him expressly today? We are relying very much on what we read from the Bible, which is correct. It's the word of God. But there are situations that the Bible will not solve just by the content. There are situations where you need to hear God say, don't go there now. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
Which the Bible wouldn't say. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There are situations where you need to hear God say, get out of here fast. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
Say, which the Bible wouldn't say. So God has not limited us to the Bible. God expects us to talk to him and hear him. And I know one thing for sure, God talks to us. We have just locked our ears and our hearts. We are the ones that are not hearing him. Let me tell you something. You see, in this room now, there are radio waves. If I bring a radio now, I turn it on, you will begin to hear something. But we are not hearing anything from radio waves now because we have not turned on anything. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
God is talking to us all the time. The reason that we're not hearing is because we don't tune on. We have gone to another frequency. Do you follow my point? A lot of times we tune on to business. That is another frequency. Do you follow my point? You know your radio. You are turning that thing and it goes from one frequency to another frequency. Huh? And as you move from one frequency to another frequency, you cut off what is coming from here and you begin to hear what is on the other frequency. You see, that is what we do spiritually. We tune off from God's frequency and we focus on business frequency and other things. Sometimes you even tune to anger. Anger. Do you follow my point? Yes. You're sitting there, you keep remembering those who have offended you, whom you say you have forgiven, but you refuse to forget. Do you follow my point? Praise the Lord. Those are hindrances to our interactions with God. So God talks to his children. We have mentioned so many that God has talked to. And thank God because he does. Because when he talks to you, then you know the specific things to do or not to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Imagine that when Moses got to the bank of the Red Sea, he was just reading some book to know about God. Do you follow me? That he never had God say, stretch forth your rod and divide the sea. He needed to hear that one. Do you follow me? Then he wouldn't have known what to do. He would be standing there. Even though there was a way, he wouldn't see a way. Hallelujah. Now, easy with God's children. Now, begin to tell me some people who were not God's children in the Bible and God talked to them. They are there.
Saul.
Well, it's the same name, but we use Paul or Saul to tell the difference between time. Between time. Okay. Saul was a persecutor of the church. When the Lord called him, Saul, he heard. Hallelujah. He had. Now, if he was only reading the books of the prophets, which he knew very well. Did you follow my point? As a Pharisee, a tough Pharisee, he knew the law. He knew everything, but the letter killeth. It is the Spirit that gives life. He needed the Spirit to know that Jesus indeed is Lord. But on that day, the letter was set aside. You already know the letter. Now here is the Spirit. He heard with his ears, and he was never the same again. Never the same again. Saul. Yes, who else? Who? Pilate's wife had a dream. So you begin to see the different ways that God can talk to people. Later on, we're going to talk specifically about the ways to hear from God. Saul actually heard the voice. He even saw a bright light. Praise the Lord. But Pilate's wife had a dream. But it was still God talking to her. And she was an idol worshiper. You know that? Remember that in the Gospels we were told about the blood of some people that Pilate mingled with his sacrifices. You remember? Okay, the Romans were idol worshippers. Hey, well, perhaps only the Greeks worshipped more gods than the Romans. The Romans had one god for everything. The god of the door, the god of the road, the god of the roof. Everything. Everything had a god. Praise the Lord. No idol worshippers. She had from God. Yes, who else in the Bible?
Cornelius.
Cornelius. He was not particularly an idol worshipper. He was a devout man, but he did not know Jesus. He needed to know Jesus. So the Lord sent an angel to him. You're trying, but you need Jesus. See, there are people who try, even today. They try, but they need Jesus. It's not just trying. You need Jesus. Yes, who else? Abimelech and the Pharaoh, two of them, you remember, separately. And God spoke to them, you guys are in trouble. Praise the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar, an outright pagan. Outright pagan. The interesting thing is that what Nebuchadnezzar saw, covered from his time until the end of this world, when Jesus reigns forever. The vision that he saw covers the whole, and he was an outright pagan. But there's going to be something very interesting about Nebuchadnezzar later on when we take methods. Praise the Lord. That God will use that pagan to teach us how to hear from him in some areas. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Who else? There are more.
Cyrus.
God moved Cyrus. At least we have evidence. God moved Cyrus into conquest. But God said, even though you did not know me. Do you follow my point? God said, I am the one who has directed your steps. See, you think that God only directs the steps of his children. No. He orders everything in the universe. He is in control. Hallelujah. God is in control. He determines what happens and what does not happen. The only thing is that his children have special privileges. But he is in control of all. It is as if you have so many servants under you. Some are bad, some are good. You are still the master over all of them. You still have control over all of them. But some may be closer to you than others are. So God said of Cyrus, I'm the one who has ordered your steps. I'm the one who anointed you. He said, my anointed one, Cyrus. So God anoints unbelievers. Can you believe that? Yes. If God wants an unbeliever to do something, he anoints him to do it. When we have our early bird program at Praise Assembly, when we have the communion, only the believers take the communion. But when we do the anointing for different purposes during the year, we anoint everybody, whether you have given your life or whether you have not given your life. We anoint you anyway to make it. Praise the Lord. After all, if you die too soon, you may not know Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Who else? Saul.
who had to prophesy.
Saul, king of Israel.
He prophesied.
Oh, David. David was a prophet. Period. He was a prophet. He was king and prophet. I'm writing a book on the priesthood of Jesus Christ. There's some special things about David. We don't have to go into that now. You follow my point. David was not just a king. He was a prophet. And very strange at that time that he had to be a prophet. And you will remember that David acted also as a priest. You see, what Saul did, and he became accursed. David would tell the priest, do you have an ephod? Yes, give me. And they will give him. And he will put on the ephod and he will offer sacrifice. Do you follow my point? And he will take the Urim and he will consult with God and God will talk to him. And he was not a Levite. Do you follow my point? See, there are some special things about him which hopefully in the future we may get into. But praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
There are more of them. Cain, after he killed his brother, God spoke to him. And from Cain, you know that hearing from God is not necessarily always pleasant. You can hear something terrible. You can hear something terrible. Yes. Who else? Jonah, as a child of God. But I'm asking for those who are not God's children at this time. Belshazzar. He heard from God. What today we refer to as the handwriting on the wall. Anytime you hear the handwriting on the wall, that is bad news. That is what it means. Bad news. You say, oh, he saw the handwriting on the wall. That is bad news. Today, the word of God said to him, we have weighed you. And too bad. You have not measured up to standard. And your government is divided up to the Medes and to the Persians. And so on and so forth. And the word of God, that night he was killed. That very night he was killed. The Pharaoh in Egypt, he saw the vision about the fat cows, the lean cows, the beautiful ears of corn, and the ones that were blasted with the east wind. That was from God. That was from God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was another Pharaoh who heard from God. Somebody tell me.
Was asked not to marry the wife of...
No, we have mentioned that one.
Okay. The one that...
Anybody ever heard about Pharaoh Necho? Pharaoh Necho was going to war in the days of Josiah. He was going to catch Mish to war. Then Josiah dressed up, took his army, and went to meet him, to fight him. Josiah was a child of God. He loved God. He served God. He was young, but his heart was after the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When Pharaoh Necho saw him, Pharaoh Necho said, King of Judah, I am not here to fight you. Be careful how you fight. You see, when somebody brings a fight to me, I listen. You have to fight from a righteous standpoint. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The pagan said to the child of God, I'm not here to fight you. I'm going to Carchemish to fight. God sent me there. The pagan told the child of God, your God sent me there to go and fight. If it was you, you say, which God? That will be your normal reaction. You're not a child of God, but it doesn't matter. I told you, God orders all things. He is God overall. He told Josiah, God told me to do this job quickly. If you delay me, God will destroy you. He told him. Can you believe that? When Josiah heard him, Josiah went back. He disguised himself like somebody else. Then he came back to fight. That day, he died. He died. So one thing he could have done was go to... The prophet Jeremiah was around. He could have said, inquire for me of the Lord. Because it's one of the things that will touch. If you know that you are not getting through, you could let somebody else join you. inquire for me of the Lord. And Jeremiah could have said, don't do it. The Bible said, all of Judah wept, and Jeremiah too, because he was a child of God. But it is good to know God's mind. When you don't know, you can make an error. Sometimes a fatal error. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I thought that we'll use this brief period to look at who can hear from God from both sides. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, why on earth must you hear from God? What are the advantages of hearing from God? When we finish with this, we'll stop here for today. What are the advantages of hearing from God? What do you gain? Instruction. Hallelujah. Instruction. What does instruction do to you? Instruction guides you. Instruction lets you know what the one who instructed you actually wanted you to do. Hallelujah. Instruction. The fact that God has spoken to you and has given you a specific instruction does not mean that you are going to do it like that. Do you know that? You are still yourself. Your flesh is there. But may God give you the grace to do it like he said.
Amen.
Remember, that was why Moses did not step on the land of promise. He got the instruction. He had God. But he didn't do it that way. Why didn't he do it that way? Why? Because of anger. He got angry. Everybody, God has built into us to get angry, but the level and the reason and the utterance that he made when he was angry. See, the same Moses who in the book of Numbers chapter 12, God said he was the most gentle man on earth. That is where I feel so sorry for him. That they provoked this man who was so gentle, the most gentle man on earth. They provoked him and he opened his mouth and he sinned against God. May God help you to watch the door of your mouth.
Yes.
You see? Instruction. Can you remember somebody else to whom God gave instruction?
Noah.
Fine, Noah. God said, you have to build an ark of what? What wood? What wood?
It's acacia.
Gopher.
Gopher
wood. The ark must not be of teak. It must not be of ayi. Do you follow my point? Specific instruction. It must not be of bamboo. It must be of this particular type of wood. If you can't hear, you can't know. Do you follow my point? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
David too.
David?
When he wants to go for a war,
yes,
he took his property and the wives over.
Yes.
Can I go?
Yes.
Can I go?
Do I go after them?
Yes.
Yes. Go. I will give you victory. Hallelujah.
Abraham.
Father Abraham.
You should leave his place.
Leave the land of your fathers. Instruction. And go to this strange land where I am going to bless you. And he packed everything. And he left. These days people are going to say, devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Hura baba baba shenteria. The land of my fathers. You are, this is not God. Do you follow my point? Ah! This is the land of my father. No. Say the whole earth is the Lord's. The fullness of it is the Lord's. And he is not sentimental about the land of your fathers. It is where he wants you to be. That he wants you to be. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He left everything and he packed. God removed him from his fathers. Idol worshippers, I want to do something different with you. I am revealing myself to you as El Shaddai. That was what he did. Remember, he told Moses, your fathers knew me as Almighty God, El Shaddai. That was how he revealed himself to the fathers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, but you are going to know me as Jehovah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Samuel. What occasion?
When he was,
you know, he called him, but instruction now.
Yeah. When he wanted to destroy the home of Eli.
That one, yes. You see, the one that you are saying was not an instruction.
Okay.
It was a message to somebody. But this one is an instruction. Take your horn of oil. Instruction.
No.
David. Go to the house of Jesse. That was instruction. And I will show you somebody that you are going to anoint for me to be king over Israel. That was instruction. But what did Samuel say to the Lord at that time? What did he say to the Lord? He said, Lord, Lord, you have given the sword to Saul. Didn't God give it to him? God, you have given the sword to Saul. If he should hear this, he will kill me. And interesting, God did not say he will dare not kill you. God knew that he had given a big sword to Saul. And Saul could decide to use it righteously or use it unrighteously. See, once God has placed something in your hand, it is in your hand. You don't even have to obey God anymore in how you use it. But you will be accountable to him. So be careful. So God had to teach Samuel wisdom. Hearing from God is one of the advantages. It's wisdom. So God taught him wisdom. How to do it so that Saul will not know that he has done it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Any other advantages? Jonah is not an advantage. You tell me why.
When we are from God, it will serve us and provide for us.
Provisions. Well, he still provides for those who don't really hear him. But he can, I suppose, do some special provision for you if you can hear him. Do you follow my point? Yes. There's such provision, and I would like, beg your pardon. Did you say something?
Avert us from danger.
We're going to be talking about certain things very soon, and you will see. You will see how beautiful the Lord is. Hearing God, another advantage is because of the unknown. The fear of the unknown. The fear of the unknown. You want God to speak into your future. Let you know the unknown. He said, ask. Ask me. And what? Well, I will show you great. You have to apply the correct. I will show you great and mighty things that you did not know. Yes, things you did not know. You want God to instruct you. Impart knowledge. Knowledge unto you. It's one of the advantages. Knowledge. Wisdom. Knowledge. Understanding. Understanding. When you can hear God. When I'm studying the Bible, I come at something and the Holy Spirit begins. Do you follow my point? I can hear him. He is telling me, you know, he's telling me things in the Bible. He's explaining things to me. And boy, I can just relax and be taught. Glory to God. I can relax and be taught. And you cannot fault it. No minister can fault it. They may disagree with you, but they cannot prove that you are wrong scripturally. If he has, my experience is that if a minister has always taught it differently, and you now teach it, he stands on his ego. Do you follow my point? He stands on his ego. But if the Holy Spirit has taught you, nobody can prove scripturally that you are wrong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. Any other advantages? Brings you closer to God. The Lord spoke to you. If he has ever spoken to you once, clearly, it becomes an experience in your life that you hold on to. Isn't it?
Yes.
What else? The courage to carry on. The courage to carry on. You see, there are certain things in my life that when my flesh wants to begin to grumble, I will just remember what God has said to me. Do you follow my point? And once I remember again, I am strong. I am made strong because I know that the Lord spoke to me concerning such issues. Let me share this one with you, which you know. In the book of Judges, there was a time when Israel went lawless. They had no ruler. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They had no ruler. Everybody did whatever he wanted to do. If you read Judges 20, you can read about these stories. We're not going to read. I'll just tell you. You know this story, I hope. 20. So it happened that one Levite who had a concubine, Alpha, only concubine, you see, one Levite who had a concubine had an experience. Read the story. Eventually, the concubine died. Some people raped her, killed her, and then he took her body, he cut her in pieces, and divided her all over the tribes, and said, hey, come and see what has happened. So all of the 11 tribes gathered their armies, and they came against Benjamin, because those who committed these atrocities were Benjamites. So Benjamin also gathered his armies and met with the 11 to fight. But then came a situation. Benjamin is our brother. We are all gathered to fight Benjamin. Is God pleased with us? So they consulted with God. Lord, do we go against our brother Benjamin, or do we not go? Then God said, go. I will give you victory. Judah was the first to go. They said, Judah, go on. I think 20,000 or 20-something thousand of them. They went out against Benjamin, and Benjamin finished all of them in one day. Now, if it was among us, would say, you said God spoke to you that we should go. Now 20,000 people are dead in one day. False prophet. They gathered themselves and they wept. They wept before the Lord. They wept and they consulted. Do we go? God said, go. They went again. Whoom. They destroyed them. They went back to the Lord. They wept and prayed and inquired. Do we? God said, go. I'll give you victory. Praise the Lord. Listen, for as long as you are hearing the voice of God and you know that you are hearing the voice of God, you have the courage to carry on no matter what stands in your way. You keep remembering, God said so. God said so. And you go on and you carry on no matter what you experience. That will be your strength. The fact that you know that God told you so. Eventually, God gave them victory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so you know that the fact that God is sending you somewhere does not mean that it is going to be easy. It may be difficult. But your hope, your courage, your strength lies in the power of the word of God that came to you to go there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 The Lord is so good. What about in making a choice? Is there some advantage to hearing God if you have to make a choice? For example, you want a husband, you want a wife, and you have to decide? Of course, I will want to hear God. Because I know that by the word of God, once I say I do, I must do until I die. To a lot of people, it doesn't matter these days. In the United States, you get married and you divorce freely. It doesn't really matter. Marriage is just two people coming together. We'll give it a try. If it doesn't work, we'll break it up. Pastors divorce even more than ordinary people. Yes. And I can't get over it. I don't know why pastors who join people together and they say to them, for better, for worse, till death do us part, will now not stick unto their own until death will do them part. Hallelujah. In making a choice, it's so good. I have counseled people who had to make a choice between one thing or another. And they want to know God's will. And I try to make each person his or her own prophet, even if I would also seek the face of the Lord on your behalf. I want you to be part of it. That is what it should be in the body of Christ. You don't want to be the guy that's sitting there. You are telling everybody everything. They don't have to try. Do you follow my point? Jesus doesn't like it. It's what he refers to as the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. He doesn't like it. He says in the book of Revelation, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. They don't have to grow. You can always tell them, prophet, may I travel? Yes, travel. Prophet, may I? No, don't go. Do you follow my point? He or she, a child of God also. Won't you help them to talk to their father? Eh? There was a lady. She went to be with the Lord some years ago. Well, some of you know her. She came one day, and some men had been putting pressure on her, wanted to marry her. Oh, of course, some prophets had come to her to prophesy that they saw that she was carrying him. She never had a child for her husband until her husband passed away. Some two prophets, if I mention their names, you know them, but had come to her and said that they saw that she was carrying a baby. Good news. But each of them saw that the baby was his own. Bad news. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, that was bad news. So when she came and she shared that with me, I just laughed. I said, well, you know those ones just want to sleep with you. And then she would want me to join her in prayer. She wanted to know the mind of God. Should she get married or stay unmarried? I said, okay, I will pray, you pray too, and then we'll compare notes. Do you follow my point? Okay. So I sought the face of the Lord, and one early morning, as I was opening my eyes, there were two things that the Lord spoke to me about. I was just in between waking up, you know, and the Lord said, you see, there had been a situation in the university. My wife had retired. She was the first accountant of Unilorry Press. She was the accountant for 10 years. And I can tell you, by the grace of God, to the glory of God, not one foul naira entered our house in those 10 years. Even though the possibility was there and big as the accountant. There is a system in Nigeria which I don't understand. The devil seems to push Nigerians in every wrong direction. How can a child of God sit as the accountant? You buy something from your suppliers. Then your suppliers have to give you money before you pay them. You see, I can't understand this thing, but it goes on and on and on in this country. And the suppliers will come and put pressure on her. They want to give her money. No. We are buying from you. If your quotation is always good, we will buy from you again. That is all. There was a lady from Ibadan who supplied them things. She was the biggest supplier. One day she came to my wife's office, wanted to give her money. My wife said, no, we had decided at home. You see, if you have done a good job for me, I don't mind giving you something. But if you are demanding it before you do it, we can have a little difficulty doing that. But then we had agreed at home, listen, even when you have done your good job and they bring money, don't take it. That was it. Don't take it. So this lady brought some money to her, and my wife said, no. And she pleaded and pleaded. And my wife said, no, I don't want it. Look, we buy from you because your quotations are good. And her quotations were good. And the lady said, yes, but the profit that I make on those quotations that were good are big. And I can afford to give you this much, and I still have made enough profit. My wife said, keep your profit. She got angry, got up in my wife's office, went out and slammed the door and went away. When my wife told me, I said, well, if all of her intents were righteous, what is she angry about? Because gradually, you begin to take money from them. Then you have to do them some special favors because you're sharing in the profit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, after my wife retired, they did not pay her entitlement. They withheld her entitlement from the bursary. We waited and we waited. There was no answer. She gave them 4 months' notice. I think she was supposed to give 3 months. We said, give them 4 months' notice so that they use 1 month to look for an accountant to replace you. Because she was the only accountant. They had two people who were account clerks working with her. All 4 months, they never sent another accountant. She wrote to them, I have given you notice of retirement. Come and audit my account because I am leaving. They did not come. When it was 2 weeks to go, she wrote again, I have only 2 weeks left, but you have not come to audit my account and you have not sent somebody to replace me. No reply. And then the last day that she spent at work, she told one of the account clerks, I'm going to hand over things to you. You only sell and deposit money in the bank. That is all you do until they make some arrangement. So all the cash that she had in hand, she deposited in the bank. You have to do that. You follow my point. She deposited everything in the bank and satisfied herself with her accountant. The head of the project pleaded with her to leave some cash. She said, I'm sorry, I can't. I have to deposit all cash in the bank because there is no accountant. So she did that. So for going to 2 years, they would not pay her. And then one day they wrote to her, they said, you have not balanced your account for two years before you retired. So you had to balance your account. See, in other words, she did not balance the account for, let me just use one arbitrary year now. You did not balance your account for 1990, but she retired in 1992. Do you follow my point? So she wrote back to them, if I did not balance my account for 1990, how did I balance the one for 1991? Because it is impossible.
Yes.
You have to use the figures from 1990 to balance 1991. So I was advised, sue them. Go ahead and sue them. So I spoke to a Christian lawyer. I said, we don't want to sue yet, but just write to them. Write to the vice chancellor. Copy such and such. And he said, okay. So that morning when I was waking up, the Lord spoke to me about that. The Lord said, concerning those people in the bus room, he said, don't sue them. He said, just leave them alone. Then he said, concerning the lady who wanted to know, my perfect will for her is that she will spend the rest of her life to just glorify me. That was it. So when I came, she came in and I said, this is what the Lord said to me. And she said, praise the Lord. That was exactly what the Lord spoke to me. And I said, thank God. So you are your own prophet. It is not that Dr. Okala told you not to marry. God told you not to marry. It makes more sense that way.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And concerning the situation in the university, we're talking about hearing from God. Suddenly one day, Mr. Olu works at the bursary. He said, Daddy, they have prepared your wife's entitlement. They're ready to pay her. I said, what happened? I thought they wanted to hold on to it. He said, yes, don't you know that they have sent the man that was hindering everything on compulsory retirement? I said, I didn't hear. He said, yes, they have sent him on compulsory retirement. So as that very week that they sent him, his boys, who loved my wife very much, because she did her work faithfully. So they knew. So his boys, they just carried, you know, just bring Madame's papers. Bam, bam, bam. They prepared everything, you know. And you see, at the time that the Lord gave me the word, just leave them alone. I told my wife, I said, when God says, just leave them alone, it's bad news for them. I said, let us pray for this man. Let us pray for him so that God will give him the opportunity to learn a lesson, but not in a way that is too hard. So we agreed and we prayed for him. But you know what God did? They sent him on retirement. They prepared my wife's entitlement, gave my wife her check. And after that, he went to court and the court said they should take him back. So they took him back. God just moved him out. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God we prayed for him. The Lord is beautiful. The Lord is beautiful. It is good to hear from God. It is good to know exactly what God wants you to do. Believe me, if for some time I'm not hearing, I begin to get worried. Let me tell you, there are times you want to hear and you don't hear a thing. And under those situations, I know that then I have the answer already. So I will look, I will search. It means that the answer is here already. Do you follow my point? And if you search diligently, you will see that the answer is there already. Hallelujah. Amen. By the grace of God, we'll pick it up Thursday. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Are there any questions? Let's just 5 minutes. Anybody has a question, a comment? A question, a comment? Nothing. Shall we bow our heads and begin to pray? Let everybody pray. Just pray and bless the name of the Lord. Let us give thanks to God. Let us give glory to God. Our God is good. Our God is good. Let's thank God for grace to hear these things. Blessed are your ears. Blessed are your ears. Because you hear these things. There have been many, many who had wanted to hear these things that come by Jesus and the Spirit of God, but who did not. And I want you to talk to God personally, as a child of God. My Father, call him your Father. Jesus said when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. It's a relationship. Tell him, my Father. My Father, I love to hear from you more. I love to talk to you more. I love to understand you more. I love to obey you more. Give me grace. Give me grace to do it. Give me grace to be able to do it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want you to pray to the Lord for Nigeria. That the spirit of Islam will not pour into Nigeria and trample over the good things in Nigeria. I want you to pray for the United States, for Europe, all of the places that have been objects of attack by the spirit of Islam, to kill, to destroy, to devastate. Let us pray. I'm saying this on the basis of a revelation that I saw, which indicated that there was a struggle to inflict havoc. And finally, this evil man was able to beat the defense system, and he scored a point. Let us pray to God. Every evil plan will be revealed in time, and that God will teach us, when I say us, all of those who may be under attack, United States, Europe, Nigeria, all of us, God will teach us how to stop them. We need God in order to be able to stop them. It's not a matter of muscles. This is spiritual warfare. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Give thanks to God. Bless the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for grace to hear you, to know your mind, to know your will, and to be obedient to you. Jesus, thank you for making it all possible. We adore you. We appreciate you. And we cherish your Holy Spirit. Father, accept our thanks.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.